talked with me returned and woke me up, like someone awakened from a sleep. So this is a dream or a vision. He asked me, "What do you see?" All right. And I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top, seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps, and there are two olive trees, one by it, one on the right of the bowl and one on the left of the bowl." And so the picture that we see here is two olive trees, and in the middle is this chalice. It's a bowl, okay? And on it are these little, I would call them lips, all right? And there's a wick in each one of those seven lips, all right, that are a lamp, that function in that nature, okay? And so you have these olive trees, and then there's channels, a way that that oil is coming from the olive tree to supply the lamp, okay? And we're going to find out what those are, all right? I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" He answers, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Okay, he's the governor. He's the one in the lineage of David. "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord." So we know that passage, right? So we're going to look at the context of that. "What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone." So not the cornerstone, but the capstone, the final stone in the completion of the temple. "To shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it.'" So what we don't see here, but we know from just as we look at the events in other books like Ezra and Nehemiah, is that they would start rebuilding. So in 586, it is destroyed. Okay, and in 5, I'm going to make sure I got my notes right here. I think it is 536. 536, they begin to lay the foundation of the temple. Could you try again? 536, they begin to rebuild the temple. All right, and so they get the foundation laid, and also not everybody's happy that they're rebuilding the temple, because there's other foreigners that have settled in Israel at this time as well. And they don't like what's happening, and so they send word back to Babylon and back to Persia and say, "Hey, these guys are causing trouble. They're doing things wrong," which they weren't, but they're causing trouble. And so for over right around 20 years, 16 years, the work on the temple would be halted. The foundation would be laid, and there it would sit for 16 years. And it's at this time that now God speaks through Zechariah to Zerubbabel and saying, "Hey, what has been started is going to be finished. It's not going to be by might or by power, but it's going to be by my spirit." Okay? "Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundation. His temple... of this temple, his hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares to despise the day of small things?" You ever started off on something and you think, "Man, this is just small, this is puny"? We'll talk about that. "Who dares to despise the day of small things, since the eyes, seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel?" Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees, the one on the right and the left of the lampstand?" Again, I asked, "What are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil?" He replied, "Do you not know who these are?" "No, my Lord," I said. He said, "These are the two that are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth." So that would be a reference to Zerubbabel, and the other one is Joshua, who is referred to in chapter 3 of Zechariah. He would be a priest. He was a priest. And so it was these two men that were going to provide leadership for Israel to bring them out of discouragement, to bring them out of desolation, to bring them back as a nation, all right? It was a rebuilding that they were responsible for. So there's some notes here, and if you have your program there, you can write those in there. They're not real long. We're going to keep this somewhat short. But the first thing we see that through this prophetic vision given to Zechariah, we see that the Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit spoke through Zechariah to Zerubbabel a word of encouragement saying, "Hey, what you started 16 years ago, and now that has been stopped, it's been at a halt, you haven't been allowed to work on it, I am going to help you complete it. The task of rebuilding Solomon's temple was a huge, insurmountable task. It was like a mountain in his pathway. You ever had a mountain that's in your pathway of your dreams, of your hopes, maybe what God has called you to do? I love hiking mountains. But if you have a mountain in your pathway that you can't climb, you can't get through, such as what laid before Zerubbabel, it was a big task. It was a mountain in his pathway. It seemed impossible, but God had promised, it's not going to be by my might or power, but it's going to be by my spirit. The old debris would have to be removed. They would have to bring in people. It wasn't going to be just Zerubbabel out there with his trowel and his hammer and his a few resources. They were going to have an army of people to mobilize them. And before Zerubbabel could do that, he had to have the encouragement himself, right? You know, that word encouragement means you're being given courage to move ahead. If you're discouraged, you lack the courage, right, to move or do whatever you're supposed to do. But when you're encouraged, somebody is speaking to you life, power, encouragement, so that you move ahead with what God's called you to do. And so that was what the Holy Spirit was doing through this prophetic word, was giving Zechariah, was giving Zerubbabel the encouragement to move forward. So first of all, Zerubbabel had to be encouraged himself, right? And then he had to lead a people that were coming back. That some of them even remember the former days. They remember Solomon's temple that had gold and ivory. I mean, it was immaculate. It was beautiful. It took years to complete. And they come back to this desolation. It was burned. It was torn to the ground. It's like, where do you begin? And so not only did Zerubbabel have to mobilize himself, he had to mobilize a people that were demoralized, that were probably wondering, you know, what, God, what are you going to do? How are we going to do this? And, you know, when things are going well as a leader, it's easy to lead. Man, when you got momentum, man, it's, you just push the buttons and it goes, right? But when you're in a hole, when you're in a pit, when things are tore down, it takes a lot of leadership to get that momentum going. It's 1,000 times harder to lead in those times. And that's what God was calling Zerubbabel to do. Maybe you've been in that in your own life where, you know, when things are going well, it's you're coasting. But when you're going uphill, when you're climbing that mountain, it's like it takes everything that you have to do that. That's where Zerubbabel was at. God was encouraging him by his spirit to lead. All right. So what mountains are in your way? What mountains stand between God, you and God's dreams for your heart? Let him encourage you. Let the Spirit of God speak some words of encouragement. Listen to his voice. Listen to what God is speaking to you. You know, don't despise the day of small beginnings. As I was thinking about that, I think about Dell computers. Where did they start? Anybody know? Somebody's garage. Amazon. How many bought something on Amazon this week? I did. I bought several things. Where did they begin? Garage. Bezos' garage. They rented a house and began in a garage. His parents gave him $250,000 to begin with in 1995. Not too bad. Now their stock is worth $2,400. Not too bad, right? You can have some pretty big things that start off with small beginnings. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Listen to the Spirit's voice and be encouraged. Secondly, the Spirit empowers us. The Spirit empowers us. It says, it is not by might, the word says, that you're going to rebuild. Now, we can read that, not by might. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you what, maybe a little bit what was going through Zerubbabel's head. It refers to military strength and human prowess, such as an army of workers that Solomon had to build the temple in the first place. So what kind of army did Solomon have? Well, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 5, 13 through 17, you'll see that King Solomon conscripted laborers from all Israel, 30,000 men. And he sent them off to Babylon in shifts of 10,000 a month. So they would work for 1 month in Babylon, be home for 2 months at home. Okay? Verse 15 says that Solomon then also had 70,000 carriers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hill. That's a pretty good sized workforce, right? That were part of, they were just part of the people that were helping to build that temple. And Zerubbabel would not have that type of might to complete the temple. He's going to be working with a fraction of the people to rebuild that temple. So it was not going to be by human might that temple was going to be rebuilt. And it's not going to be by power. What does the word power mean? Well, it means physical strength, horsepower. How many like horsepower in their pickup, right? All right? Okay? Horsepower, there's that human might there again. And realistically, they did not have the physical strength, not like Solomon did anyway, to complete this temple. So how was it going to get done? If they didn't have, not by might and it's not by power, it was going to be by God's Spirit, right? That it would be rebuilt. The Spirit would empower Zerubbabel, Joshua, and others to complete the task with a fraction of the human power and might that had been required initially to rebuild or to build that temple. And one of the common threads that runs through the whole of Scripture is that the Spirit empowers us to accomplish God-ordained tasks. You think of Moses, you think of Gideon, you think of David, you think of a Paul or Peter. And what about you? Can God equip you to do what He's called you to do? Amen. Sometimes we think, you know what, I need the power, I need the strength to do it. And all of a sudden we get to our end and say, man, I can't do it. And God says, I know. It's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit. Amen? You know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was a human ailment or if it was somebody that opposed him strongly. We know that from the documents that he had both, but we don't know what he's referring to in this situation. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, Paul says, I had a thorn in my flesh and I begged God 3 times to take it away. And you're talking about a man who was bit by a poisonous snake and survived it. We're talking a man that prayed for other people and they were healed. We're talking about a man that took the gospel to thousands, if not millions, in the face of persecution and hardship. He did some incredible things, but it comes to a thorn in his own flesh, and he says, God, take this away from me. And God says, no. Instead, he says, my grace is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in your weakness, right? Therefore, I boast all more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power will rest on me. For that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and hardships and insults and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In times, I've talked with people and says, you know what, I can't take it anymore. I can't do it. And I said, you know what, that's just an opportunity that you discover the greatness and the power of God. As a pastor, you want to help people, but there's only so much you can do. We have to discover God's power that is available to us. Amen? Number 3, the Holy Spirit sustains us. This would not be an overnight process where God says, hey, I'm going to build it, and He was going to push the button, and it would be completed the next day. That wasn't the case. They would start roughly in that 535 B.C., they'd be allowed to come back, they would lay the foundation, and then reports would get back to Babylon, to Persia, they would put a halt to the construction, and there the temple would sit, the foundation laid, but no work would be done. 16 years. And all of a sudden then, things began to click, things fell in place, they got the green light from Persia, they began to rebuild, and in 4 years they would complete the rebuilding of the temple. But it would take over 20 years in total for that to be done. It was a long process, and God would have to sustain them through that. You know, and that's what I've learned. The Christian life is a race, right? Hebrews compares it to a race. If you look at it, it's a race. It's not just a sprint. It's day after day after day that we need to rely on God's Holy Spirit to sustain us through the ups and downs. A similar prophet, a contemporary we would call them, during this time was Isaiah. And in chapter 40 is kind of a pivotal time because the previous chapters, 39 and before, refer to the Israelites before they go into captivity. And 40 to the end, to 60, whatever, 66, deals with them coming back. And so there's a tone difference there. There's encouraging parts in the last part. But this is what Isaiah says in chapter 40 to those that are coming back, okay? They're coming back from exile. He says, "Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. For he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Amen? The Holy Spirit is there to not only encourage us, not only to empower us, but to sustain us day in and day out. When we sometimes feel totally sapped of our strength, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, God has not left us alone, but he's given us his Spirit to help us, to encourage us, empower us, and sustain us. You know, the Holy Spirit is with us the moment we accept him into our heart and our life. But the Spirit also comes in a empowering way that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's what we see on the day of Pentecost. That's what we see throughout the book of Acts, that there's that empowering presence of the Holy Spirit to equip people to be a witness, to live a life that glorifies God, to be who God has called us to be, to live in the life of the Spirit. I'm going to have the musicians come back. As you invite the Spirit's presence into your life, I believe that the Holy Spirit will come. And I believe, you know, as you're just in your devotional time, sometimes when you're in a service, God just comes in that empowering way when we're gathered together. Sometimes you're going to be in bed, you can't sleep, and you're just kind of praying out to God. You're just going to sense the Spirit of God. Maybe you're taking a drive down the road and just enjoying the beauty that is there, and you have a quiet time with God, and God speaks to you. You sense His Spirit and His power. God calls us to be people of His Spirit and to live by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is that paraclete, is the Greek word, the one called alongside to help us. And God says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to return again. But until I return, I'm going to give you my Spirit so that you know that my Spirit is with you, that you know that you're saved, one for one thing, but also that you have the power, that you have the help that you need to live a godly life for me, to be a witness, and to glorify me." Amen? So this morning, let's go to God in prayer. Actually, I'll let them do the chorus. But I don't know, maybe there's just a mountain in your pathway, specifically this morning, that you just don't know how you're going to get through or get over, get around. It's there. And this morning, maybe God is speaking to you this morning, just some words of encouragement, of power, of strength. And we're just going to give it to God this morning. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand? If everyone could just close their eyes. And if God is speaking to you this morning, say, "Man, there's just a mountain there. And I just want God to meet me this morning. I know it's not ever going to be by my might or power. It's going to be by His Spirit." And Father, this morning, you see each hand that is raised. You know each heart, Lord God. And Father, I just believe by your Spirit right now, you're just blowing amongst this place. And you're meeting us where each one of us is at. Come by your Spirit. Come by your power. Be evident in our life. Be evident in this place. We give you the thanks. We ask in your name, God. Andy come and just closing prayer here.
I think Pastor Brent was hitting on that mountain, and that mountain is, it's an everyday thing. I think it's fear. Fear that cripples us. Depression that paralyzes us. Anything that opposes God's spirit, that's what paralyzes us, and that's that mountain every day. And that's the, God gives us the authority to say to that fear, fear go, Holy Spirit come. Come in every part of my heart and part of my life. And that's the way we're going to experience life, His love, His truth, and everything that He has for us. That's the way He's going to sustain us. He's already given us authority to say those things to go. And so I just want to pray that over you and your families and those that may be watching. And to encourage you that you have the same authority in Christ Jesus if you believe in Him. You have that same authority to decree over your home, over your family, over your children, over this nation, fear go, Holy Spirit come. So God, we just come before you and we thank you, Lord, that death was defeated on the cross. God, death lost its sting, and along with that, the power of the enemy no longer has control over us. The lies, the fear, the doubt, the depression, the anxiety, all those things have no place over our life, God. So we just speak over every single family, over every single marriage, over every single life, over our nation, over our lives, God. We just say, fear go. Holy Spirit, come. Come and breathe your life. Breathe your healing. Breathe your restoration and redemption, your plan and your purpose for our life, Holy Spirit. Help us to hear you. Help us to know you and follow your voice that leads to peace, to restoration, to truth on a life that is a solid foundation that can't be shaken. God, we thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we ask. Amen.
Amen. Hey, don't leave, Andy. Why don't you bring Lizzie up here with you? Amen.